Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the VegGrow Podcast, and this is episode 129, titled What to Do with Courgette Gluts. And today is the 14th of August, 2017. So coming up today, I have the diary entry where I will talk about what I have done in this last week, including harvests and my visit to Westin Gardens and the Chili Fiesta. Following that, I'm going to talk a bit about a few ways to use up courgettes, as I'm sure many of you out there are getting so many that it's hard to know what to do with them. But before that, I had an email yesterday from Karen about home guard potatoes. She grew them this year after hearing me talk about them earlier this year. And last week I mentioned that the yields were very poor from what I grew outside. Well, Karen also found her year yields were very poor, which is a great shame. And she also found cooking these potatoes to be difficult. At 20 minutes they were still hard, at 24 minutes they fell apart. That was boiling them, of course. So she's emailed me with her experience, and I wondered if the potatoes she got were wrongly labelled, but she sent me a link from where she got them from, and they were a pretty reputable supplier. It's possible I got wrongly labelled, but I doubt it. I've wondered whether the yields are low due to weather-related issues this year, as the pot of these potatoes I grew in a greenhouse did produce pretty well. However, I've also seen other people's potato yields are down this year. Some are actually quite high in some places and some are low. So I feel it's just, for me, it's not been a year. And I will continue to grow home guard and emailing Karen and seeing how she's getting on. It's been great to have that bit of feedback, I have to admit. But what I also really interested to know is anyone else's experience with potatoes this year. In particular, if you have grown the home guard variety, because I am such a big fan of the home guard, and this year it has let me down. But you get years like that. So with that out of the way, the diary. Now, during the week, I managed a couple of quick allotment visits, and these were literally just to do some harvesting and weeding, not a huge amount more. Again, we've had rain, so it's kept the soil pretty moist. At home, it's pretty much been the same thing, although I have picked quite a few tomatoes and cucumbers. The cucumbers I've had to start pickling because I had so many. And I just done a very quick and simple pickling of these just by slicing them, pop them into a jar with some chopped dill, then pouring over some pickling vinegar. The correct way of to do it would be salting them beforehand and various things like that, but I've just done it very quickly and I find it works for me. I also emptied the bottom tray of the wormery. This has been digested and made some really nice black compost, although there was still eggshells left, but that's not too bad. I've placed this compost on the veg patch and the chickens will just dig over it and spread around and do what they do. At the weekend, I had a couple of friends staying with us so we could go to Chili Fiesta on Saturday. Now, Chili Fiesta is one of my favourite garden shows and I try and go every year. It's held at Westin Gardens, just north of Chichester, in Westin House and Lands. It's beautiful. This year we actually had 8 of us going, which is a pretty big party of us. When we first got there, we had a very fast walk around all the stalls. This was to find our cake man, who's normally there every year, and he does some of the most fantastic cakes that we like to get in there first, before he gets too busy, have a bit of a chat with him, we get our cakes, and we're happy. However, this year he wasn't here. So now, however, because we've done a fast walk around, we've had a good idea where everything was and what we wanted to pay particular attention to. So we kind of just walked around slowly, round all the stalls, taste testing a lot of the sauces and things that they had on offer. Now, one thing I really enjoy about this show is that it's chili themed, but it's not all about heat. Some chili shows I've gone to in the past have all been about trying to get the most heat. And sure, you do get hot sauces and hot things, but this is, I find it more about just flavour. And we get to taste test a lot of sauces, cheeses which have got chili blended in, chili oils, chili ice cream, just some really unusual things that are flavoured with chili. Of course, yeah, there are hot sauces, and quite early on I tried a very hot sauce called Blow Your Cock Off. I regretted trying that, and I can handle heat, but that was hot. There was, of course, stalls selling seeds and plants, and I had a good look at these. I brought a few packets of chili seeds, various different types that I'll be growing next year. I also brought a turmeric plant and a cardamom plant, as I'm interested to see how these would grow. Although I really wanted a ginger plant, they just didn't have any. They had sold out already. So I was a bit disappointed with that, but I can go on their website and get one. I wandered over to the garlic farm stall. Normally they're selling garlic for planting, but they only seem to have early purple white this year, which I've already got. So I was a bit not really interested in that, so I didn't buy anything from there. We had lunch on the main lawn. I had a really nice goat curry with a very cold cider and churros to follow. On the main stage, there was a few bands playing Latin music, and it was very entertaining and very enjoyable. After lunch, I watched a talk on growing lemons by Plants for Presents. I was making lots and lots of notes, and it was very, very interesting. Now, there were other talks going on throughout the days about growing chilies and in other tents, cooking shows and demonstrations going on. Using chilies, as I say, chilies is the theme, but they do implement other things. And it's really, really, really a good mix. After the lemon talk, we had a walk around the gardens. And we started with the spring gardens, which I've never seen before. I've been going to these gardens for about 6 years and I've never seen it before. They had a few art installations because in the house there is quite a lot of art. So it is art based as well. But we had to walk around these spring gardens. There was a flint ditch running through, which makes kind of, I guess, the central feature. And you've got all these little beds and bridges and various things going around it. And I would guess in the winter when it rains a lot, these ditch would be full of a fair bit of water. We then headed to my favourite part of the gardens, the greenhouses and wall gardens. They grow so much food in the gardens and it's used in the coffee shop. The gardens themselves are actually also used to train students because it's Westdean is a college as well. It's an art college and an agricultural college. The greenhouse and cold frames are currently having some restoration in places, but they were full of flowers that I just couldn't name. But food-wise, there was lots of tomatoes, peaches, chilies, aubergines, you name it, that could grow in the greenhouse. It was there. The tomatoes were huge. The aubergines were huge. I was only slightly jealous, if I'm honest. Then outside in the walled gardens, there were long rows of cabbages, as well as asparagus, squashes, and many, many other things like that, all grown away very, very happily. And then there's the orchards, which are just full of fruit trees trained into all sort of shapes, sizes, and bearing some really amazing looking fruit. So I've had a good look around all of these and really, really amazed at how well things are growing there and how amazing it looks. After a good walk around these gardens, we returned back to the main Chili Fiesta events, I guess. I decided to purchase a cold smoke generator for smoking food without cooking, such as cheeses and things. And I was pretty impressed with this and I really liked it. I also had a chat with a chap who has invented a slug bell. And this is something I may review in the future. And if enough people are interested, I may be able to get a pretty good deal on it. And this is basically a slug trap that you would put normal slug bait pellets in, but nothing else can eat it. It's got a bell and a cover. It's really, really good piece of kit. Very well made. By about 5, we've been there since 10, so 5 o'clock in the evening, we decided it was time to head home. We were all pretty tired. We'd been around everything and seen everything. We had a fantastic day, and we always do. My wife and I have bought tickets for next year, as they were heavily discounted. Next year it's ran between the 10th and the 12th of August, so it's well worth going. If anybody is interested in going, I highly, highly recommend it. And I do talk about Chili Fiesta every year, but it is really worth a visit, as it's just a really good day out. It's busy, but it's worth it. Sunday, I didn't get down the allotment because my wife kind of said, we've got guests, I've got to be a pretty hospitable host. However, I popped down tonight after work and before recording this. I've just had a quick strim around and check over, and I've noticed that some of my tomato plants have got blight. The non-resistant varieties have got it pretty badly, and I'm going to have to dig those out tomorrow. There is blight on the Crimson Crush, but as I said before, it just shrugs these off. However, the Mountain Magic is completely untouched, which I'm pretty impressed with. Mountain Magic, I haven't really looked after as well as I could have, if I'm honest. But these are in like the middle of my plot, and they've got tomatoes on either side of the plots that are both affected, including the Crimson Crush. These have got nothing on them at all. So I'm really, really interested in see how these will continue to grow, and I will be monitoring them and reporting back. I've also harvested a lot of French beans, a really good lot of French beans, a huge courgette again, and some tomatoes. Now, tomorrow morning, I'm planning just to go up and catch up. So that's the diary out of the way. So what we're going to talk about next is using up courgette gluts, as I'm sure a lot of you out there who are growing courgettes are probably getting sick and tired of the things. They are so prolific, and gluts are inevitable with courgettes because the plants just bear so much food. I've seen quite a few comments and things about ideas on what to use up on courgettes for. So I've got a few suggestions. Now, courgettes can freeze pretty easily by simply slicing them up and putting them in the freezer. But again, the freezer can get full up pretty quickly with them. Of course, you can give some away to friends, family, neighbours, etc. And they will be greatly received at first. But again, the more you give away to the similar people, the more they get fed up of them. Another option is to sell them at the end of your drive or wherever with an honesty box. Simple, and you might make a few quid, but security can be an issue. And there is no guarantee that they're going to be bought, so they may well go to waste. So what else? Well, last year, fellow allotmenteer said he was having this very problem. He had 8 courgette plants, I think, and he had so many courgettes he didn't know what to do. So I straight away recommended to him making ratatouille, and the next time I saw him, he said he loved it. So this is going to be my first thing to start. I've added a link to a Jamie Oliver recipe in the blog post, but it's a very, very simple thing. It's basically a Mediterranean vegetable stew. Very easy to make and simple and tasty. Now, you want to chop lots of vegetables, such as courgettes, onions, tomatoes, aubergines, peppers, any vegetables you have to hand, really. It's pretty easy. You only need to a rough chop, not down small unless you really want to, but a rough chop works. And then just gently fry them until they're soft on the edges. I like to add a good glug of wine and some chopped tomatoes. Some vinegar works as well. A few herbs such as thyme, basil, etc, etc. And then just simmer for 35 minutes to an hour with a lid on. It creates a delicious stew, and it works well as a main meal, but can also be accompanied to other meals. It also freezes very, very well, and if you make a large batch of it to keep in the freezer, it works. Another recipe that I've done before and really like is chili cheesy courgette chips. Again, there's a link to this on the website. But this is so good. And it's basically chili con carne, but instead of rice, we're using courgette chips. We take the courgettes and cut them into chips, then just soak them in milk for a few minutes, roll them in flour, and then just fry them in a frying pan until crispy. Then serve them in a bowl with your chili on top and a bit of cheese over, and it is delicious. Well, my final recipe that I've got for you is chocolate courgette cake, and it is, again, really tasty. And it may sound odd, but if you've eaten carrot cake, it's not that odd to have courgette in a cake. And what we're basically doing is grating courgette into a bowl with some chocolate powder and self-raising flour, eggs, mixing into a batter, then cooking in gas mark 4 in the oven for about 40 minutes. Simple, easy, tasty, and something different. So there are 3 simple options for courgettes. But to be honest, there are so many more things that we can use them for that I could be here for hours just throwing out suggestions. If you've got any suggestions and please get in touch. Now, before I wrap up, I've been contacted by Jen Reviews, who has written a 6,000 word blog post about how to start a garden. She's based in New Zealand, but nonetheless, what she's written is really interesting. And I'd like to bring this over to everyone's article because it's worth a read. And again, I've added the link in the blog post. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening. Please take care. And as always, please get in touch if you've got anything to add. And you can find me at thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. So till next time, please take care and I'll speak to you again.